The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
The Minister for Health, Stephen Donnelly, is with me. Minister, you're welcome to the show. So you've got Cabinet approval today to raise the smoking age, the ban on cigarette sales, from 18 to 21. Why are we doing this?
Good evening, Kieran, and good evening to all of your listeners. Yeah, look, it's a good day. We got government approval today to raise the age that you can sell cigarettes to somebody from 18 to 21 years of age. You remember in 2007, I think it was, it went from 16 to 18. And when that happened, we saw a reduction in the number of young people smoking. In America, we've seen a move from 18 to 21. And where that's happened, there's been a reduction in the number of young people smoking. And we've modelling from the UK in various places saying, if you raise the smoking age from 18 to 21, there are two really important groups of people for whom the rate of smoking goes down. First of all is the direct group. So 18, 19, 20 year olds, they smoke less, as you would imagine. But also there's a really important secondary benefit here, which is 15, 16, 17 year olds. Unfortunately, what we've seen is, in spite of great progress in Ireland over many years, reducing the smoking rates, for this group, 15, 16, 17 year olds, it's tipped up, not much, but it's been tipping up a little bit. We need it going in the other direction for all of the obvious reasons.
So how does that work? So I know the Health Research Board looked at this, and about two thirds of smokers said they had their first cigarette at age 14 or 15, which is, you know, 4 years below the limit at the moment. How, being 7 years below the limit, is it going to make that person not smoke?
What they found in other countries is, they found this in the US, is that if you're a 16 or 17 year old, you can either pass for 18, you know, reasonably credibly, with your fake ID, or maybe you're not even asked because, you know, you've grown an L beginner's beard or whatever it might be. Or you've got a friend or an older brother or sister or whatever it is who's 18 and who can get the cigarettes for you. What they found is that for 15, 16, 17 year olds, it's harder to know the 21, 22, 23 year olds. The gap is bigger. And so it becomes more difficult to get access to the cigarettes. But the Vox Pops yesterday were quite interesting. A few different media outlets were talking to people around the country, and younger people were saying, actually, this is a good thing. We all know smoking, you know, doesn't lead to anything good. And the figures, Kieran, they're still very stark, right? So about 90 people a week die from smoking-related illnesses. That's 90 families, 90 mums and dads or sons and daughters or brothers and sisters who are grieving for somebody. I'd say every one of us has someone we know or a family who's been affected by a death from cancer. Or even if somebody survives, it's a difficult journey. So about 4,500 people a year are still dying from cancer. 20 years ago, Ireland led the way with the smoking ban, which Micheál Martin brought in as health minister. And moving from 18 to 21, we'll certainly be the first European country to do this. My guess is other European countries will follow suit, because what we know that this will work in bringing the amount of smoking down. And every reduction we can get in young people smoking, the reality is that's lives saved in years to come.
Would this be, or could this be, the first step on gradually increasing that age every single year? So like they had talked about doing in New Zealand, though I understand there's been some rollback, they're talking about doing in the UK. Or does our kind of membership of the European Union complicate that?
For now it does. So we took legal advice, because as you said, the New Zealand government introduced it last year. Now the current government has said they're going to pull back from it. Rishi Sunak, I think it was, as the British Prime Minister, said they were going to bring it in. Now, I don't know how advanced it is in the UK.
Yeah.
So we looked at all options. The initial advice we got back was that in the single market, it wouldn't be possible, because cigarettes, whilst we might not like them, and whilst they kill a lot of people, they are a legally traded good.
Yeah.
However, our questioning of the EU on that has now kicked off a discussion at an EU level. Because the reality is, if cigarettes didn't exist, and the tobacco companies popped up tomorrow and say, hey, do you mind if we sell these to people?
Yeah.
Obviously, they wouldn't be allowed, right? So what we want to do here is something that we know we can get through quickly, and we know that will make a difference, and that we know targets those most at risk, which is 15 to 19, 20-year-olds.
John Crown, the oncologist, his suggestion is not that you go after the cigarettes directly, but rather indirectly. So you would seek to ban the sale of products for human consumption that include paint stripper in them. You know, which, you know, it's a kind of an evocative way of describing it, but it does make sense to a degree. I mean, at the moment, pork producers in this country are kind of staring down the barrel of having to come up with a new way of flavouring, coming up with a smoky flavouring for food, because kind of Brussels has said, you know what, that's carcinogenic the way we do it at the moment, the chemicals we use. You can no longer do that in the future. And it seems remarkable that they're doing that at the same time that cigarettes can still be sold.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting proposal. I certainly wouldn't rule anything out. I imagine the cigarette companies or the tobacco companies would very quickly just substitute in other things, and you'd end up in a cat and mouse.
In a kind of an arms race with them.
Yeah, possibly. But look, I have huge respect for John Crown. He's a formidable mind, and he's a gifted oncologist. So I would listen carefully to any advice he had, because what he's dealing with every day, and his colleagues are dealing with every day, is talking to people who have smoked for a lot of their lives and might have smoked from a very young age, and unfortunately having to give them very bad news.
When you liaise with other ministers for health around Europe, what is the appetite for kind of cracking down, particularly maybe in southern European countries where maybe there's more of a smoking culture?
You know, I think we need to wait and see what happens there. But what I can tell you is last year we brought in, we're the first country to bring in health warnings on alcohol. The health labels. Now, there's a lead-in period for that, so it hasn't happened yet. But one of the warnings is that there is an increased chance of cancer, unfortunately, even from fairly moderate drinking. The other health ministers were very interested in that.
One of the interesting upshots of all of this, by the way, when you bring up drink, is that an 18-year-old will be able to go up to their local supermarket and buy as much booze as they want, but they won't be allowed by 20 fags.
Yeah, and we're saying these things are different. And for a long time now, Ireland's had two very different strategies when it comes to drinking and smoking. Ireland's health strategy when it comes to drinking is responsible drinking. So to avoid harmful drinking. Our strategy on tobacco is very clear. It's a tobacco-free Ireland. We just don't believe there's any case to be made for smoking in the population. We know it's linked. Obviously, it's 13% of all cancers. But increased chance of stroke, increased chance of cardiovascular disease, you know, it does profoundly bad things to people. Mm. And of course is highly, highly addictive.
Well, that tobacco-free Ireland, that policy that the government has subscribed to is tobacco-free by next year, I think, isn't it? Which is 5%, a rate of 5% by next year, which I don't think anyone is going to claim that we're going to get down from 18% to 5% within the next 10 months. Why has it plateaued, do you suspect?
It's a really good question. And it's a question that the public health doctors are struggling with themselves, because we're positioned from a European level. We are doing not bad. We're better than the EU average.
Yeah.
But our smoking rate in Ireland is still considerably higher than in the UK, including Northern Ireland, right? So we're into social factors. We're into normalisation. And hence we're taking this measure. So a lot has been done in terms of healthy living and smoking cessation. We have smoking cessation teams all over the country. We funded free nicotine replacement therapies, which has gone down very well. There's been a lot of uptake of that. But it has plateaued for a while now at this 18%. And ultimately, we need to drive that down. And hence this is a pretty strong measure, but we're dealing with a very serious public health issue.
At what point in the future will single-use vapes be banned? Will people no longer be able to purchase them?
I'm working with Minister Rushin Smith on that, and we're engaging with the EU on the way the Belgians did it, which was to say, look, there's an environmental and a public health risk or damage of these. So I've already legislated for vapes, and we made the legal age of sale 18 quite recently, and there's other measures coming in this year. There's a second piece of legislation we're putting together at the moment, and that's looking at disposable vapes, colours, flavours. It will take a bit of time.
The lifetime of this government?
Well, if this government runs its full course, I think we could certainly look at that. It would still be ambitious, but but regardless, we have to get on and put the draft legislation together. So whether it's me or whether it's the next Minister for Health, that we have to keep making progress. There is a lot of public support to clamp down further on vapes. My view, rightly or wrongly, is the colours, the flavourings, a lot of that, I think, is very cynically targeting younger people, including children.
The only other thing I want to ask you about from Cabinet today is supports for Ukrainian refugees who have moved to this country. So people will know that relatively recently the supports for new arrivals was reduced. But today Cabinet has approved reducing how much people are in receipt of, people who have been here since the outbreak of the war. Why has that decision been made?
For a few reasons. One is financial sustainability of the whole package of supports we have in place for Ukraine and for other people coming to the country. And partly what it's doing is it's putting people who've come in from Ukraine, it's lining up those supports with people seeking international protection. And as you say, people coming in from Ukraine since March. Hmm. And so about 107,000 Ukrainians have arrived here. And I think the Irish people are rightly proud of opening their doors to bring women and children and men in fleeing the Russian bombs and Russian bullets. So of the 107,000 that came here, about 24,000 have left. So we've about 83,000 here. And that number is falling all the time. And of that, there's about 27,000 who are in state-supported accommodation, which is serviced accommodation.
Yeah.
And essentially what the proposal that came in today was to say, if you are in serviced accommodation, so the state is paying for your food, the state is paying for your board, for your medical, your medical services and so forth, then the amount is lining up with Ukrainians who are arriving now and people seeking international protection. So that's
it. Is it mean-spirited to do that in the same week that Russia has opened up a new front in that war?
Yeah, I think that's a fair question. And of course, we're watching what the Russians are doing, and they have been advancing. And I was listening to a very chilling testimony from one lady who was saying, if the Russian artillery get within, the point is not necessarily to take Kharkiv, it's to get within artillery distance of Kharkiv, and the Russian murdering so-and-sos will again just target civilian populations. There is never a good time. You know, I think the Irish people have done the right thing. I think we've accepted in a lot of Ukrainians. You know, like normally, Ciarán, if you look at international protection, Ireland would take in about 3,000 a year in normal times. And 107,000 Ukrainians arrived here. And it was absolutely right that we brought them in and that we supported them and that we housed many of them. I think the Irish people are very proud of that. A lot of Irish people have given up their homes or shared their homes. So there's never a good time for these things, but it does speak to financial sustainability, and it speaks to saying, look, it's only if you're in serviced accommodation that this would apply to you.
Stephen Donnelly, Minister for Health. Minister, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciarán Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.